Hello, World Wide Web. This is Zach, and you're listening to Reads on the Bitcoin Well podcast. I hope everyone is doing well on this Easter weekend. I'm recording this on Thursday, April 2nd, a little earlier than normal, as we get ready for a long holiday weekend. I look forward to spending some time with the family and making some holiday traditions with my wife and kids, like dyeing eggs at my mom's house this Sunday without using chemical dyes. My wife is the expert here, as she has a lot of knowledge that goes over my head about things like turmeric and beets and other plants we can use. Speaking of finding uses for things, this week's article is all about the ways that you can use Bitcoin. This is a great episode to share with friends and family that say, "But what can you use your Bitcoin for?" Well, here we will go over 7 ways people are using Bitcoin today, and it's not even a complete list by a long shot. So sit back and relax into some knowledge as we step out of the chaos of this news cycle and calm our amygdalas down with good old-fashioned edumacation. As always, please email me any questions or concerns or complaints to z.adair@bitcoinwell.com. That's z.addair@bitcoinwell.com. I promise I will respond to every email. Everyone, have a great weekend, long or otherwise, and happy Easter. Enjoy the show. Seven Ways Bitcoin is Used Today by Ulysses Alfaro. Many people dismiss Bitcoin without ever seeing it in use. Some say it isn't real, that it isn't backed by anything, and that it exists only as numbers on a screen, abstract and disconnected from real life. That reaction makes sense. Most of us never see how money actually works. We tap a card, send an e-transfer, check a balance, and trust that everything behind the scenes will hold together. Bitcoin feels strange because it doesn't come from a bank or a government. There's no company to call or an office building behind it. And because of that, people assume it must be imaginary. But Bitcoin is very real. It runs on a global network of computers. It uses energy. It follows strict rules that anyone can verify, and every day, people around the world use it to save, send, and receive money in ways that weren't possible before. The problem is how Bitcoin is usually explained. It's often reduced to a price chart, a trade, or a bet on the future. When that's all you see, it's easy to miss what Bitcoin is actually solving. Bitcoin isn't one thing. It plays different roles depending on who you are and where you live. For some people, it's a way to protect their savings. For others, it's a way to move money across borders. For businesses, it's a way to get paid without intermediaries. For many, it's simply money that works when other systems don't. What follows are 7 ways Bitcoin is already being used in the real world, not as a theory or a promise, but as a working system that solves real problems today. Once you see these 7 roles together, Bitcoin stops looking like something abstract and starts to look like money. Bitcoin as hard money and a store of value. Before Bitcoin does anything else, it holds value. That might sound simple, but it's actually the most important job money has. Good money lets you save the results of your work and trust that it will still be there later. When money fails at that job, everything else becomes harder. People are forced to spend quickly, take risks they don't want, or watch their savings slowly lose value. Bitcoin was created as a response to that problem. There will only ever be 21 million Bitcoin. That number isn't a goal or a policy choice. It's built into the system itself. No government, company, or group of people can decide to create more. New Bitcoin enters the market on a fixed schedule. Everyone can see it, everyone can verify it, and no one can change it. This is what people mean when they call Bitcoin hard money. It doesn't get easier to produce over time. It doesn't respond to political pressure, and it doesn't try to fix short-term problems by diluting the value of what already exists. That matters because money shapes how people think about the future. When people trust that their savings won't be watered down, they can plan. They can delay gratification. They can think in years instead of weeks. Hard money rewards patience instead of debt. Bitcoin is often compared to gold for this reason. Both are scarce and both are expensive to produce. But Bitcoin takes that idea further. It's easy to verify, easy to divide, and easy to move. You don't need a vault or a middleman to hold it. Most importantly, Bitcoin's scarcity doesn't depend on trust. You don't have to believe anyone when they tell you how much Bitcoin exists. You can check it yourself. The rules apply to everyone, everywhere, equally. For people living in stable economies, Bitcoin as a savings can feel optional, something you might use alongside other tools. For people living with high inflation or failing currencies, it can feel urgent. But the function is the same in both cases. Bitcoin protects value over time by refusing to change its rules. In a world where money is constantly changing, that consistency is powerful. Bitcoin as a settlement layer or a method of exchange. Moving Bitcoin is easy. Settling it is not. Most of the time, when you send money through a bank or a payment app, the transaction isn't really final. It can be delayed, reversed, frozen, or disputed. There are layers of companies in the middle, all with the power to step in later. Bitcoin works differently. When a Bitcoin transaction is confirmed, the payment is final. There is no company that can undo it or any authority that can reverse it. Once the network accepts it, the transaction is settled. In the traditional finance system, real settlement usually happens behind the scenes. Banks settle with banks. Central institutions keep the final records. Most people never touch this layer directly. Bitcoin brings settlement out into the open. Anyone can use it, anyone can verify it, and anyone can receive a payment that is final without needing permission from a third party. So the question is, if Bitcoin settles transactions slowly and carefully, how can it handle everyday payments? That's where the Lightning Network comes in. Lightning is built on top of Bitcoin. Instead of settling every small payment directly on the main network, Lightning allows people to make instant, low-cost transactions between each other and then settle the final result back to Bitcoin. Think of it like this. Bitcoin is the final court of record. Lightning is the day-to-day activity that rolls up into it. With Lightning, millions of transactions can happen quickly and cheaply, while Bitcoin remains the place where everything ultimately settles. Speed on top, finality underneath. This combination is what makes Bitcoin different. It doesn't have to choose between being secure and being useful. It can be both, just at different layers. Bitcoin settles value with certainty. Lightning moves value at scale. Together, they form a system where payments can be fast when they need to be fast and final when they need to be final. And once a payment settles on Bitcoin, it stays settled. Bitcoin as borderless money, or remittances. Money is still surprisingly tied to geography. Where you live, which passport you hold, and what banking system you have access to all determine how easily you can move value. For many people, sending money across a border is slow, expensive, or simply impossible. Bitcoin doesn't care about borders. A Bitcoin payment sent to someone next door works the same way as a payment sent to someone on the other side of the world. There are no international fees, no currency conversions, and no waiting for banks in different countries to coordinate. This matters most in everyday situations. A worker sends money home to a family in another country. A parent helps a child studying abroad. A freelancer gets paid by someone overseas. With traditional systems, each of these involves delays, fees, and many intermediaries. With Bitcoin, value moves directly from one person to another. When you add the Lightning Network, this becomes even more practical. Payments can be sent instantly in small amounts at very low cost, making Bitcoin usable not just for large transfers, but for everyday support. For many people, this isn't about convenience, it's about access. Millions of people around the world don't have reliable banking, but they do have a phone and an internet connection. Bitcoin gives them a way to receive and hold value without needing approval from a bank or a government. The network doesn't ask who you are. It doesn't ask why you're sending money. It doesn't treat one country differently from another. That neutrality is powerful. In a world where money often stops at borders, Bitcoin moves freely. And when value can move freely, people can participate more fully in the global economy. Bitcoin as borderless money isn't a future idea. It's already happening every day. Bitcoin as commercial infrastructure, point of sale for business. Running a business today means relying on a lot of middlemen. Payment processors, banks, and card networks sit between a business and its customers. They make payments convenient, but they also take a cut, set the rules, and hold the power to delay or block transactions. Most businesses accept this as normal. Bitcoin offers another option. When a business accepts Bitcoin, it can receive payment directly from a customer with no chargebacks, no waiting days for funds to clear, and no third party that can step in later and reverse the transaction. Once the payment is made, the business has it. This can make a real difference, especially for small or online businesses and for anyone selling across borders. Fees are lower, settlement is faster, and the rules are the same for everyone. With the Lightning Network, this works out everyday scale. Businesses can accept a small payment instantly at low cost without needing expensive hardware or complex systems. A customer pays, the payment arrives, and that's it. There's also something deeper happening here. When businesses rely entirely on intermediaries, they're vulnerable to rule changes they don't control. A shift in policy, a compliance review, or a technical issue can suddenly cut off access to their own money. Bitcoin reduces that risk. It gives businesses a way to get paid that doesn't depend on approval. That doesn't mean replacing everything overnight. It means having a foundation that works no matter what happens around it. Bitcoin as freedom money or censorship resistance. Most people don't think about money being blocked. They assume their account will always be there, that their payments will always go through, that they'll be able to access their own funds when they need them. Most of the time, that's true, but when it isn't, the consequences are immediate. Accounts can be frozen, transfers can be denied, access can be removed sometimes because of mistakes, sometimes because of policy changes, and sometimes because someone in a position of authority decides it should happen. Bitcoin works differently. Bitcoin can't be frozen by a bank. It can't be blocked by a payment processor. It can't be shut off because of who you are, what you believe, or where you live. If you control your Bitcoin, you control your money, period. The network doesn't judge transactions. It doesn't decide which payments are acceptable. It only checks whether the rules are followed. For people living in stable countries, this might sound theoretical. For others, it's very, very real. Journalists who can't get paid, protesters whose accounts are frozen, ordinary people caught in political or economic turmoil. In these moments, censorship resistance isn't about ideology, it's about having options. Bitcoin ensures that access to money isn't conditional on permission. And in a world where financial access is increasingly tied to behavior and compliance, that matters more than most people realize. Look up CBDCs, for instance. Bitcoin is money that keeps working when systems decide you shouldn't. Bitcoin as an energy network, mining. One of the most common things people hear about Bitcoin is that it uses a lot of energy. That's usually where the conversation stops, though. But energy use isn't a flaw in Bitcoin. It's the reason Bitcoin works. Every form of money that has lasted has been expensive to create. Gold requires mining. Even paper money used to be tied to something scarce, like gold. When money is cheap to produce, it gets overproduced and people pay the price. Bitcoin ties money back to the real world through energy. New Bitcoin is created through mining, which uses electricity to secure the network and enforce the rules. This work can't be faked. You can't print Bitcoin. You can't create it out of thin air. You have to spend real energy and time to earn it. That's what makes Bitcoin real. Energy creates a cost. That cost protects the system. And because everyone can see how much work is being done, anyone can verify that the rules are being followed. There's another part of that that often gets missed. Bitcoin mining doesn't just consume energy, it looks for energy that would otherwise be wasted. Extra power from hydro dams, excess natural gas, renewable energy produced when demand is low. Mining can turn unused or stranded energy into something valuable. In that way, Bitcoin acts like a global buyer of last resort for energy. Miners go where power is cheapest and most available. If energy becomes expensive, they shut off. If there's excess supply, they turn on. No central planner controls this, and it is guided by simple incentives. Bitcoin becomes a system that connects energy, economics, and money. This matters because it anchors Bitcoin to reality, unlike the dollar. Bitcoin isn't backed by promises. It isn't backed by trust. It's backed by work, and work requires energy. Bitcoin as financial instrument. As Bitcoin has matured, something interesting has happened. It stopped being used only by individuals and started being used by companies. Not as a payment experiment or a marketing stunt, but as a serious financial tool. Some companies now hold Bitcoin on their balance sheet, the same way they held cash, bonds, or other assets. They do this for a simple reason. They don't want their excess capital slowly losing value over time. Holding large amounts of cash sounds safe, but cash isn't neutral as its purchasing power changes, mostly to the downside. Its supply can increase, and companies that hold it are exposed to decisions they don't control. Bitcoin offers an alternative. Because its supply is fixed and predictable, some companies use Bitcoin as a long-term treasury asset. Instead of sitting in cash and hoping inflation stays low, they choose an asset with clear rules and no central issuer. MicroStrategy is the most well-known example. Over time, the company has made Bitcoin a core part of its financial strategy. It treats Bitcoin as a reserve asset, something to hold for the long term, not to trade. They believe Bitcoin is a better store of value than cash. But MicroStrategy isn't alone. Other companies, funds, and institutions now use Bitcoin in similar ways. Some hold it directly, some structure products around it, some use it as collateral, and some use it as a hedge against currency risk. What matters isn't the exact strategy. What matters is that Bitcoin is being used as a financial instrument, something that can sit inside balance sheets, treasury strategies, and long-term planning. This represents a shift. Bitcoin is no longer just something people buy on their phones. It's something organizations use to manage capital, reduce risk, and plan for the future. And unlike many financial instruments, Bitcoin doesn't rely on an issuer or a promise. It doesn't represent a claim on someone else's performance, like stock. It simply exists with the same rules for everyone. For companies thinking in decades instead of quarters, that kind of certainty is rare. Bitcoin in this role isn't about speculation, it's about strategy. When people say Bitcoin isn't real, what they usually mean is that they haven't seen where it fits yet. They see numbers on a screen, but not the system underneath. They hear stories about price, but not about purpose. And because no single explanation captures everything Bitcoin does, it's easy to dismiss it as an abstract or unnecessary. But Bitcoin isn't one thing. It holds value over time. It settles payments without intermediaries. It moves money across borders. It helps businesses get paid. It keeps working when access to money is restricted. And it turns energy into security. And it's increasingly used by companies as a serious financial tool. These aren't promises about the future. They're things Bitcoin is already doing today all over the world. For some people, Bitcoin is savings. For others, it's infrastructure. For others, it's a backup plan. And for a growing number of organizations, it's a strategic asset. None of these uses cancel each other out. They exist because Bitcoin is built on simple, firm foundations that don't bend under pressure. Once you see Bitcoin this way, it stops feeling like an idea or a trend. It starts looking like a tool that solves problems most people don't realize exist until they need it. Bitcoin doesn't need belief to work because it's already working.